It's Memorial Day, and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin was among the dignitaries who spoke during a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery this morning.
Our Gold Star and surviving families wage a fight that goes on long after the funerals. And it is our sacred duty to do more to ease the burden that they shoulder on Memorial Day and every day.
Our next guest is part of a Gold Star family, and on this Memorial Day, he asks the question, who should be responsible for the death of my son? Andrew Basevich's son, Andrew Jr., was killed in Iraq 14 years ago in 2007. Recently, Basevich received a letter in the mail from a law firm asking his family to join a lawsuit against Iran in connection with his son's death. The retired Army colonel rejected the offer, but the letter made him wrestle with that ever-present question about who to blame. Basevich recently wrote about this in the Boston Globe, and he joins us now. And you've been weighing this question about who to hold responsible for your son's death for a while now, and this latest was prompted by a letter. What did it say?
Well, it was a letter from a Washington law firm to me and my wife. The letter claimed to be speaking on behalf of hundreds of Gold Star families, and the gist of the letter was that the law firm was going to sue the government of Iran, holding the government of Iran responsible for my son's death and the deaths of many other Americans, and presumably we were going to all then cash in as a result of this lawsuit.
You tossed this letter in the trash, but it left you with that question about responsibility. Does Iran share some of that responsibility? Is there actually a case for that?
I don't think so, at least not in my estimation. I should be clear. I'm not an apologist for the Iranian regime. It's not democratic. It causes a lot of trouble in the region. But by any objective measure, the Iranian response to the American invasion of Iraq, which was to offer assistance to Iraqi resistance forces, was quite rational, quite predictable, and dare I say it, even justified. Were hostile forces to invade Canada, for example, surely we would respond in a similar way. In other words, we would provide material support to Canadians who were resisting foreign occupying forces.
You've always been a critic of the Iraq War and President Bush's decision to launch it back in 2003. But ultimately, you've decided that placing the responsibility for your son's death on Iran, and even to a lesser extent, President Bush is just evading the questions that we, the people, you say, should carry that responsibility. Can you say more about this?
Well, we're a democracy. We proclaim proudly that we are a democracy. When American soldiers go fight, whether it's in Iraq or Afghanistan or Europe or the Far East, we insist that they are fighting for democracy. And therefore, it seems to me, when we search for the ultimate explanation for our wars, we have to find that explanation in our democracy. You know, it is not true that any administration, the Biden administration, the Trump administration, that, on a day-to-day basis, they express the will of the American people. But I think cumulatively, they do. So the post-9/11 wars, one of which claimed my son's life, we, the people, either tacitly or explicitly, allowed those wars to happen. We can't pass off the blame onto a particular president. We have to recognize that there is a collective aspect of why our nation does what it does, either at home or abroad.
What you're saying is crystal clear, but I'm wondering what your thinking be different if someone were killed in a war for which there was broad public support, like World War II.
I don't think that I'd have a different explanation. As a matter of fact, that if we take World War II as a popular war and one in which the moral stakes were far clearer than the moral stakes in Iraq, then it becomes all the plainer. Yes. Mm-hmm. That the Americans who died fighting to liberate France and to destroy Nazi Germany and to bring down the Japanese Empire. They died on behalf of we the people. Matter of fact, I think to some degree, the continuing preeminence of World War II in our collective historical imagination stems from what we perceive to be the clarity of World War II. The Iraq War, Afghanistan War, the Vietnam War, in which I served, none of those conflicts had comparable moral clarity. And all of them, to some degree, featured some amount of popular resistance. But in no case was the popular resistance sufficient to make the war go away. So I keep coming back to the notion that, yeah, the Americans who died in those wars, whether they were good wars or bad wars, they died on behalf of we the people.
Yeah. This is what you're reflecting on this Memorial Day.
Yes.
Is it what you're asking us to reflect on?
You know, I think it's presumptuous of me to ask others to reflect on anything, but I would say this. You know, you and I are speaking near Boston, and we have a wonderful tradition here in our Commonwealth that in anticipation of Memorial Day, we volunteers put flags on Boston Common, one flag for every resident of Massachusetts going back to 1775 who's given his life or her life for our country. That's over 37,000 flags. Mm. My wife and I went out there the other day to help install them. It's a beautiful remembrance. And it's just my hope that in remembering as we do, do we also take that next step to ask ourselves, what is our responsibility for all those deaths? I think we have some. And I think if we ignore that responsibility, that collective responsibility, then I think our democracy is diminished as a consequence.
Andrew, what do we do with that responsibility once we acknowledge that we as individuals and collectively as Americans are responsible? What do we do?
I think we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a citizen today? What does it mean to be a citizen at a moment when, of course, the country is deeply divided for all sorts of reasons? What does it mean to be a citizen at a time when we are reckoning with some very uncomfortable elements of our past, particularly with regard to race? I think there is an urgent need for us to reckon with parts of our military history that are also uncomfortable. And then to say, okay, what am I supposed to do about it? I mean, what is my role as an individual, as a democratic citizen? And I wouldn't presume to suggest that there is sort of one answer to that question. But I think I would say that in this particular moment of our history, coming to an answer, one that's, you know, satisfies us as individuals, I think it's really, really important.
Andrew Bacevich, a retired Army colonel who served in Vietnam and is now president of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He has a book coming out shortly called After the Apocalypse. Andrew, as always, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you very much.